March 2021, Jesus' prayers on the cross. Jerusalem was buzzing. 5 days ago, they had welcomed Jesus as would-be king. He had ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey, just as Jewish rulers had done for centuries before him. The cries of the crowd then had been, "Hosanna! Save us!" But how many knew then that they had identified the opposition wrongly? Through proud, threatened and lying Jewish leaders, a weak political Roman governor and a misled crowd, Satan felt that the final battle was in his hands and he relished the victory. Having entered the city amidst adulation, Jesus left struggling under the weight of a cross. Determined not to expire on the road after the torture he had been subjected to, still he staggers. But his desire is to give his life, not allow it to be taken. So he continues up the hill and out of the city to the place of Golgotha, where they nail him to a cross and lift him high above the crowd. The crowd that is now muted. Only the sound of suffering and the cruel jeers can be heard. The people are now derisory, distressed, disappointed. Some are numb with shock, and most of his followers stand afar off. But his mother, her two friends, and the disciples he loved stand near enough to hear his prayers. In Matthew 6:14-15, Jesus had said to his disciples, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Despite all the injustice Jesus is suffering, despite all the sacrifices he is making, despite all the effort he has put into teaching his disciples about the nature of God and the plan and purpose of God, here he is in indescribable agony. His life breath laboured, his life blood flowing, his strength wrenched away from him by the physical pain. Even here, Jesus forgoes bitterness for our sake, because he knows that if he doesn't pray this prayer, he will have raised an insurmountable barrier between us and God. Because he would no longer be that perfect, pure and holy sacrifice necessary to redeem each one of us. So he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Who was he praying for? Only for those who had dealt unjustly with him? Those who had tortured him, mocked him, crucified him, or those who had deserted him, misunderstood or disbelieved him? I don't believe so. I believe he was addressing each and every one of us, so that each and every one of us could be forgiven. In this prayer, Jesus demonstrates the depth of his love and his determination that nothing should separate us from the love of God. Even under great duress and in his last hours, Jesus demonstrated through this prayer the necessity for purity and holiness in a life surrendered to God. He demonstrated that obedience to God is not qualified by our circumstances. In his last hours, those criminals crucified either side of him enacted the choice open to every heart. We can recognize our own unworthiness and his divinity and depend on him to rescue us now and forever. Or we can blame him for our own situation and selfish choices and deride his sacrifice and redemptive power and die in our sinfulness. As Jesus hung on the cross, the weight of his body causing him physical agony, a much greater weight was laid on his soul and spirit. The darkness, the sickness, the consequence of all our wrongdoing was laid on him. For us, Jesus experiences the wrath of God and a separation from God that he has never known. In desperation, he cries out in prayer, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus was so close to his Father. "I and the Father are one," he has proclaimed. This close, intimate and holy relationship of Father with Son has been smashed to destruction by the weight of our wrongdoing. Small or great, it makes no difference. The consequence of sin is separation from a holy God. For that time, the Father could not look upon his Son. His presence is withdrawn. On the cross, because of our sin, Jesus was abandoned so that we never have to feel abandoned by our Father God. If we choose to believe, sin does not lead to separation from the Father, but to a place where in repentance we can be forgiven and reconciled to the Lord of all. Dead to the power of sin and alive to God through the work of Jesus Christ. At Golgotha, even creation feels the chaos crowding in. Darkness falls as the sun is hid from 12 noon until 3 p.m. At 3 p.m., Jesus cries out in prayer to his Father, "Into your hands I entrust my spirit." In the Gospel of John, we are told Jesus said, "It is finished." There are two things to note here. Jesus still trusts the Father, even though he feels forsaken. And to the end, Jesus gives his life as a pure sacrifice until the work is finished. And in doing so, he completes the Father's plan and the beginning of a new covenant between God and man is signified by the dramatic ripping of the thick temple curtain, which until then had separated the people from the Holy of Holies and the presence of God. We have explored the spoken prayers of Jesus on the cross, but to my mind, the greatest prayer of all was in what he did on that day and not what he said. To defeat the power of sin and death for each of us, he endured the suffering and the crucifixion. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the prayers of Jesus where he prayed for all believers down through the ages. On the cross, Jesus gave his prayers substance. He redeems us from the consequence of sin by taking our punishment and stamping not guilty, forgiven forever over all those who believe. In place of sin and death, he bought us freedom to live a godly life. When I say freedom, I mean a life guilt-free, fear-free, shame-free. A life where we are loved and accepted by Father God, to whom we have 24-hour access to build a close and beautiful relationship. The cross, as a prayer in itself, has enabled us to pray, Father, forgive us, and into your hands I entrust my life, and to know that in so doing, Jesus has made a way for us to commence a relationship with the living God. And the victory which Satan had expected never came, and he was defeated forever. Amen.